Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
So much to say, and I have limited time. Matthew 16 and verse 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, that is the Grecian version for Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. That means when Jesus asked his disciples that, who do men say that I am? That means, who am I? Don't forget, we're looking at identity. This is the part three of this teaching series. So Jesus was asking the disciples, who do men say that I am? Who am I? Interesting, the disciple says, well, we've heard some say you are Elijah. We've heard some say that you are one of the prophets. Interestingly, people still have different shades of opinion about Jesus till today. Some religion regard to him as one of the prophets. Is that true? It's not today. It began since Bible days. Some say thou art Jeremiah. Some say thou art, Isaiah. Some say you are Elijah. You are one of the prophets. In fact, the funniest thing is some even said that you are John the Baptist. And that's quite funny because John the Baptist was his cousin. How could people mistake him for his cousin? And listen, if Jesus had to face such mixed profiling while he was on earth, don't you think you're going to escape such as well? People are going to have different shades of opinion about you. And that's why you cannot afford to pick a sense of identity from the world, from people, because you're going to live a confused life. Almost everyone is going to have their own version of who they think you are. Listen, Jesus had the same problem. People had different shades of opinion about him. And you cannot fault those opinions they had about him because it was from a natural standpoint. So because we all have different view of things, so we're going to have different perspective to things from a natural standpoint of view. But Jesus makes it clear that the definition of me can never be from a natural standpoint of view. You cannot call a conference. You cannot confer with flesh and blood. You cannot call for a consensus. You cannot throw a poll to get a definition of who I am. That's what Jesus was saying. The same thing applies to you. You cannot get a consensus poll of who you think you are. You cannot afford to live your life to the detriment, or you cannot assume that whatever people say you are, on the aggregate, is who you are. You cannot afford to live the definition of who you are to people's innuendos, people's definitions. No, you cannot. So Peter rose up and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus says, yes, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, the definition of Jesus could only be known by revelation, not by human permutation and combination. The same applies to you because you are in him. The definition of who you are cannot be from Sesame Street. The definition of you cannot be from Wall Street Journal. The definition of you cannot be from, Vogue magazine. The definition of you cannot be from African Idol, American Idol. By the way, what are you doing with an idol? The definition of you cannot be from Forbes, as good as it is. The definition of you cannot even be your school grade, even though it is good to come out with good grades. There is something about you that the world cannot fathom. There is something about you that natural calculation cannot tell. In fact, the word Christian, let me even go deeper. The word Christian was the terminology that was termed by unbelievers about us. The Bible says in the book of Antioch, they saw the follower of Jesus and they said, wow, these are Christanos. Because they saw them doing the same thing that Jesus did.
But what they saw Jesus doing was just the fruit of what Jesus, of who they are, not who they really are. The definition of who we are cannot be estimated from a physical outlook. You can only see the fruit of who we are. For you to see and to know who we truly are, you have to use another lens. You have to use the lens of Scripture. In other words, you have to receive it by revelation, the same way it is with Jesus. You can't afford to allow someone define you by your body shape. You can't allow anybody. And some people, beg your pardon, they have this identity crisis. They don't know who they are. They've left. If you live for the approval of men, you will die what should I use now? You will die at their discrimination as well. So, who are we? I think it's so important for me to identify, to let you know that you cannot afford to know yourself outside Jesus. You know, when you're studying the Word of God, I told you last week, when you're studying the Scripture and you're studying about Jesus from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and all of that, some of us, we study Jesus in isolation. So, and it is very normal. When you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, I want you to pay attention. This is Bible study. When you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to be seeing Jesus. Oh, the miracle worker. Oh, Jesus. Oh, wow, this is Jesus. Amazingly. So, when you study Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you're going to see an isolated Jesus. A soloist Jesus. Such that even while he was being crucified, people were crying for him. That, he was a good man. They are killing a good man. Even Pilate wanted to use his political power.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website, www.cornerstoneglobal.org, or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you.
So when you the problem is when you study Jesus, don't study Jesus in isolation. Study Jesus with the consciousness that what he was doing was for you and as you. So you are in him. That's why there is a gradual change of how he was addressed in the synoptic gospel from being the only begotten son to firstborn among many brethren. So, in the gospel, you will see him called the only begotten son. Jesus, now the only son of God. Oh, hey. Shall be now true. Hey, oh, now true. Oh, hey. When you go to Epistle, hey, oh, now lie. Oh, hey. Because he is no longer the only begotten son. We are now sons of God. The Bible says that he tasted death that he might give birth to many sons unto glory. So, Jesus is no longer the only begotten son. In that sense of being begotten, we are begotten together with him. Can I have a big amen to that? It is so important. And so, you cannot let people define you by their natural estimation of who you are or who they think you are. Look at the book of 1 John 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Yeah, no, please come. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Can we all read 1 John 3 and verse 1? Everybody, 3, 2, go! Oh no, you didn't read it like you know, you didn't read it with some gusto. I want you all to read together in unison. So good to see you, mommy. Welcome, mom. Can we all read together verse 1? Everybody, 3, 2, go! Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Why? The world cannot know us. They don't know us. Why? Because they don't know Jesus. They don't know God. Listen, anyone who does not know God in the face of Jesus cannot know us. Because we are in him. Come on. That's why the world cannot know us. There's a definition of us that the world cannot give. They cannot. So as a Christian, it is an aberration for you to try to pick identity from Sesame Street. It is an aberration for you to try to pick identity on the street of Twitter. It is an aberration for you as a Christian for you to pick identity from the number of Bow Street air that you are able to afford. It is an aberration for you as a man for you to assume that your identity will come from the kind of cars that you are able to drive. It is an aberration for you to try to pick identity from the things you have and don't have. You are more than those things. You're more than those things. So, the world does not know us because they don't know God in the face of Jesus. They don't know God because we are in Him. Look at the book of Ephesians 2. So that you need to know, look, we were sourced from Him. So our identity is in Him. Look at the book of Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. The Bible says, for we are His workmanship. We are His handiwork. Created in Christ. Now listen, I love Bible study because I have time to explain. The word created means to bring into existence from literally nothing. In other words, there is no pre-existence. There is no precursor. So we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are created. Say, I am created in Christ. Say it again. Say it louder. So we were brought forth from Him. Colossians 1:16 tells us, the material is the material. Christ is the material we use in making us. You know, He says, for by Him, somebody say by Him. For by Him were all things created. So He is our parent material. Christ is the substance, the Word of God in the flesh. You know, the Bible is the written word. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. The Word of God is God. And that's why there's a little bit confusion with some people. They cannot separate. They don't understand the difference. You see, the Word of God, that's why, you see, when we talk about the Word of God, the Word of God is God. Because, you see, the Word of God conveys the idea, the mind, the thoughts, and the personality of God to us. The word of a harsh man, we portray that he's a harsh man, right? If you hear the word of a kind man, it will speak kindly, true? So the word of a person expresses their personality. So the word of God is the total expression of who God is. That's why Jesus is called the living word. Why? Because he is the total expression of who God is. You see, God is a spirit. But if you want to understand God in a human form, you look at Jesus. That's why Hebrews 1:3 refers to Jesus as the express image of God's personality. That's why the Bible tells us in Colossians 2 and verse 9 to 10, He says, in Christ is the fullness of the Godhead in a bodily form. That means if you are looking for God in a bodily form, look at Jesus. If you have ever caught yourself in a confusion about who is God, how does He look? Is He some octopus somewhere in the sky? Or is He some, Medusa or some kind of, how does He look? That's why, in solving that problem from ages past to know who Jesus, who God is, because they've been making several images, Jesus came to reveal who God is. That's why John 1 verse 18, Jesus said, no one has seen the Father except me, except the Son of Man that has come to declare Him. John 1 18. So He says, no man has seen God. Somebody say, no man. Say it again. Say it again. No man has seen God at any time. Someone say at any time. From Genesis down to the book of John, no man has seen God. And look at what He says. He says, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The word declared is from the Greek word exegomei, where you get the English word exegesis. Exegesis means to explain something, to reveal something. So that means the explanation of God. Somebody say, God is a mystery. Yeah, he's a mystery, but he's demystified in Jesus. So he's a mystery. That means something you can't explain. Oh, we don't know. Yoruba will say, awa maridi. Awa leridi. Yeah, it's true. He's mysterious. And I understand the context. Some people use it to sing, to explain how that God can show up in any way. Fine. So get the context to it. But what I'm saying is, God is a mystery. True. But he's been demystified in Jesus. So if you want to know God, look at Jesus. For example, Elijah and other prophets in the Old Testament were called prophets. Prophets is from the Hebrew word prophetes. Nabi. Greek word prophetes. Hebrew, they call it Nabi. That means a representative. So all those prophets were to represent God. So when they saw Elijah call down fire, for example, it can easily be assumed to be God. And you say, wow, Elijah called down fire. Until you read Luke 9:54, when Jesus was literally insulted by some village who have refused to allow him and his disciples to come into those villages, and the disciples were furious. And when his disciples, James and John, saw that these people have, you know, disrespected them in this village, the Bible says, and they said, Lord, we doubt that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did. Come, Boroba, let's call them fire. Shake your color. The way Elijah did, because the prophets in the old were perfect, were representation of God to them. But they were not perfect representation, because you cannot represent perfectly whom you have not known personally. So that's why no man has seen the Father. And look at Jesus' response in verse 55. Jesus in verse 55 says, but he turned and rebuked. Do you know the word rebuke is a strong word? He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not the manner of spirits ye are of. He says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village that will accept them. That's why he says, if you go and preach somewhere and they chase you away, dust your shoe and get out. Preach, not fight. Don't let people come and finish, you know, separate your fight when you go for evangelism. And they say, why are you fighting? I came to preach to him. And then the person's like, I don't get it. You came to preach to him and then you are fighting. Voila. Voila. You are not in the zoo. So you are not a baboon. So you shouldn't fight. Preach, not fight. Somebody say, preach, not fight. You are to win souls, not to win arguments. Amen. So they all are the faulty image. I wish I had time to take you through these things. For example, Isaiah said some things. He said, for thou killest, thou woundest. Job said some things too. Job 1 verse 20 to 22. He says, in fact, at some point, Job says, can a man receive a good thing from God without receiving evil too? So God was represented with mixed profiles in scripture. And you don't blame them, because the Bible is a progressive revelation of an unchanging God. Because if five of us, in fact, after today's Bible study now, if I ask five people to give, just they should write a journalistic account of their experience in today's Bible study. They will write different things, true? That is the beauty of the Synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were all doing the work of what you would call a journalist or journalists. And they all wrote the same thing, but they had different emphases. Come on. There were some things Luke covered that John did not cover. There were some things that Matthew covered, Mark did not cover. Are you following what I'm saying? For instance now, if we say five people should write what happened to them in church after Bible study, somebody may start with at about 6:10 p.m., the senior pastor, Reverend Elijah, mounts the podium, picked up the black mic. He was wearing a ring, but there was no wristwatch on his hand. He wore a white shirt and a suit, but at about the 10th minute, he removed the suit. He came down from the podium and he began to preach. He taught an identity. He began from the scripture in the book of Matthew 13. And as he began to teach, people were blessed. Somebody else can write, it was in the evening of a Tuesday. The pastor just came, he preached, and then as he preached, people were blessed, and then we closed. They are saying the same story, but they have different things drawing their attention. Are you following what I'm saying? For Luke, for instance, as a doctor, the miracles is going to attract him more. Because as a doctor, these are things that would defile medicine that he has gone to study in school. So Dr. Luke, do you know Dr. Luke wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts just to evangelize one person? His name is Theophilus. So I'm busy, that's why. We have class from 1 to 6. That's why I'm not coming for Bible study. That's why. I'm too busy, that's why. My business did not allow me. You cannot be busier than a medical doctor. And he wrote the entire book of Luke and the entire book of Acts just to convince one person that Jesus is alive. Can you see that? So, it turns out that they do not all have perfect definition of who God was. Now, if you want to know God, see Jesus. If you want to know us, look in Jesus. So, in Jesus, divinity and humanity came together. So, we met God in Jesus. Jesus married us to God. Come on. Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? So now, God and man. So Jesus, the Son of God. By the way, the word Son of God, according to the book of Luke 1, 34 to 36, was the angel's way of telling or answering the question of Mary. When Mary said, how shall this be? Since I have not known a man, I'm still a virgin, I have not had sex, how can I have a baby? And then the angel says, don't worry. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And the power of God shall rest upon you. And the only things that will come from you shall be called the Son of God. Just to answer the question of Jesus' fatherhood, he was called the Son of God because he proceeded from God. Not that God had a wife in heaven and he had a little boy running around with pampers. Then he says, who's going to go and die for these people? I know you've acted drama like that in your primary school. Who will go and die for these people? He say, me, I will go. Yeah, we'll go. So you will go. Yeah, go and die for those rascal people. Go down. No. It was God in heaven. Came out of himself. Entered into a virgin woman. So the conception of Jesus was immaculate. Catholics know these things. It was immaculate. That means miraculous. Without the agency of man. There was no sexual union. The conception was immaculate. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus came to show us who God is in a bodily form. And then when you look at Jesus, you see God. When God looks at Jesus, he sees us. So your definition shouldn't be from what the world says about you, but what God says about you in Jesus. How many of you get it? Look, when you got born again, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. So when you came into Christ, God no longer responds or looks at you anymore from the standpoint of your natural descent. Hey, I'm Urobo. I'm Gbagi. I'm Nupe. One, third, two, third, two, the can't play again. Chicken, or is it Barry Ukwa? Again, man, no, I say, No, you can't keep that one to yourself. We have a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. No. So you have to get the foundation. Very simple. So before Jesus came, all the prophets, they had an incomplete revelation of who God was. So for instance, Isaiah 42 verse 6, Isaiah said, God, I am God. I make light and I make darkness. I wound and I heal. Oh boy, if you have such person as your father, you are in trouble. Because you don't know which part of the side you will wake up the next day. So God was given mixed profile. And you don't blame them, because anything that was mysterious, anything that was inexplainable in those days, They ascribe it to God. That was what happened with Job. Job was talking all true. He was saying, when I say God, I will ask him. He has afflicted me. And God showed up in 38th chapter. He says, who is this person? Come, let me talk to you. What are you saying? Who is this person that talk without wisdom? Who is this fool talking? That talk with dark knowledge. Chapter 42, when Job replied God, Job says, I am sorry. In the hearing of ear, I have heard of thee, but now my eye sees you. That means everything I knew about you was through hearsays. But now I know who you truly are. So we all have different shades of ideology about who God was. That was the situation here in Matthew 13. He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say that was Jeremiah's. So if you're looking for identity apart from the word of God, you'll be confused yourselves because you have, how many of you have seen in your little time on earth, how many of you have heard people say different, sometimes diametrically opposed opinion about who they think you are? How many of you have heard it? Especially maybe if you stay with somebody on that level, they will say, I think this person, this kind of person you are. Another person will say, because it is normal. People have different views about who you are. So you cannot pick identity from those things. So when you came into Christ, God stops seeing you from your natural descent. God begins to see you in the light of Jesus. That's why 1 John 3:1 says, the world does not know us because they don't know him. Because as he is, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. So you must make that conscious effort to refuse to give yourself or label yourself based on parameters that are ephemeral, parameters that are subject to change, parameters that are defined by human systems and human calculations, parameters that you can pick on the street, parameters on social media. Those are not the way you measure yourself. You cannot say, I'm looking for that. You see, look. This is the problem behind why we have a lot of social questions, social problems that is being solved today, that is making the rounds in the media and even in developed countries. We see ladies spending thousands of dollars in the United States just to go for liposuction. They want to remove fat from this side and put it on the bum bum. They want to remove fat from this place. It's all identity crisis. Why do you want to do it? My boyfriend don't like it. My boyfriend say, he don't like the way my tummy getting big and I got to get a thing go down. Listen, if you want to look healthy and you want to stay healthy, but not because of a man. I could move, so I told myself, if he say he like me, and I like him too, and he told me, we ain't gonna get married until I go shed some 50 pounds away. He ain't like the way my bum bum is so big, so I gotta go. Listen, if he ain't like the way your bum bum is so big, then that means, look, haven't you seen people so skinny get married 2 years later, they came so big? There had to be something different you're looking from in a woman. You can't say, well, I'm lucky. If you could go, just go remove some your fat, then we're going to go knock this door. I'm going to take it to my mama and my papa if you could take away some of this 20 kg from your body. Hey, if you marry me because of my body, then you're in big trouble because I can change any time. I can blow up any time. You got to like me for who I am and for who God says I am. You got to pick your identity from those stuff, not from what the world says. And all these things come from all this American nonsense. Pick identity from who God says you are. You are created in Christ. Say, I am created in Christ. If you see me or you see anything apart from about Israel, when Balak went to hire Balaam to curse God's people, he says, look, God has not seen iniquity in Israel. See, there is a way God sees you. It is your conscious. Next week I will show you. You have to take sides with God. So that you can win in life. God has a perspective. The world has a perspective. It is now left to you to side in with God. So that you can superimpose the perspective of God on your experience. And if you do so, the world will bow to that perspective. Come on. Let me show what I'm saying. Come, beloved. Come. You come. Come. I want to look at something. So you come like this. See me here. So this is God. This is the world, just for example. He's not the world. He's a child of God too. This is God. This man has a perspective about me. As long as he is concerned, I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. I'm a new being. He doesn't even see me from the natural standpoint. He sees me in the sight of, in the way he sees Christ. Anytime I pray, he hears the voice of Jesus. Because as long as he is concerned, I am in him. I'm not apart from him. But as for this one, this is the world. They say, he's short. He's dark. Doesn't have six packs. Doesn't have money. He's this. That's not me anyway, because I have six packs. By faith. I have money. Amen. All right. So now it is now left for me to side in with God. So imagine now two of you try to get a hold on me. Try to call me like you're trying to call me. And so God is like, this is how I see you. But the world is saying, no. Like you don't have enough waist like Kim Kardashian. I need to go reduce it. I need to get some. People spend money on all these things. They say they are tightening their organs. Let me talk a little. Ladies, come close. Let me talk to you. Listen, if you want to shed weight, there are proper biological means to do so. It's simple. In biology, and I'm just going to give you this as a free advice because I study, I'm a biological science student, and I'm a science enthusiast, actually. If you want to reduce your weight, practice intermittent fasting. That means eat by 6, your dinner around 6, 7, go to bed, don't eat again till around 12. If you do that daily, what will happen is, in that fasting period, the body needs your involuntary organs that actually work. They need certain glucose to work well. They will simply go into the deposit you have in your body, the fats, to get their source of fuel. They will no longer be needing carbohydrates as the source. They will simply go, it's something we call, gluconeogenesis. Then they later move into Krebs cycle. They will give you adenosine triphosphate that will be able to run those systems. That's all. Before you know, you start growing lean. But all these things, look, you want to do 1 week and be buying all this tightening. You are killing because you'll be squeezing your organs. You say you are squeezing. No. Number two is feed more. Look, there's nothing like essential carbs. Carbs are not essential. So don't feed more on carbs, because when you feed on carbs and you don't do any work, some of you eat about you sleep. Those energy, you didn't burn them. They will go back into your adipose tissue and form what you call fat. That's where you see, you just, I don't understand. I'm just It's because you've not been feeding well. You've been eating a lot of fufu, garri, and a lot of junk food. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Anyways, that's not for, we're not, let's focus. So, it is now my responsibility to actually side in with this man and believe his perspective. You try to draw me. You two try to draw me. So now, you draw me. Can you see that? If I side in with God, this guy will later agree with what I have believed with God. But if I side in with this guy and I rest on this guy, even God is trying to show me who he thinks I am, God will be helpless. See, look, let me tell you, God is omnipotent, but he doesn't force his will and his opinion on us. You have to side in with him on what he thinks you are. And if you do, the world will agree later on. What he believes about you is the truth. What the world says might be a fact, but guess what? Fact gets changed by the truth. The truth is superior to fact. There are things doctors say, they are facts. But by the power of the miraculous, the truth of God's word gets superimposed. How many of you get the illustration? Thank you. So, say I am created in Christ. So, James 1:18, the Bible says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we might become the first fruit of his creature, of his own will. So look at it. Of his own will begat he us with the word. We were begotten with the word of truth. We were begotten. The day you heard the gospel, that was the day you got born again. That was the day you were born. That was the parent material. You know, in biology, your body is given to you by your mom. It's called somatic cell. Soma means body. Soma. That's the egg that your mom gave. The natural life you have was given to you by your dad. So, the parent material of who you are naturally is from your parents, your earthly parents. In the same vein, when you got born again, God's own material for recreation, God's own material for giving birth to you, for procreating you. Because according to Acts 17:29, we are offsprings of God. We were born of God. So God's own material is his word. When you heard the gospel and you believed in your heart, you were made alive to God. Before salvation, you were dead to the God dream. As far as God is concerned, you are not reckoned to him. You are dead to the God dream. But when you believe the gospel, your spirit man was made alive to the God dream. Are you following me? So what gave birth to you? What brought you back to life? What gave you life is that word. You know, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, but by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So it says in James 1:18, of his own will, James 1:18, of his own will begat he us by the word of truth, that we should be what? Somebody say first fruits. Say it again. Say it again. You see, first fruits, the second synonym for first fruit is firstborn. It simply means the first thing. You know, first fruit is if you plant, let's say if you grow a cashew tree now, you know, you grow the cashew, you get the primary, you know, from nursery, you grew it in, let's say, in a, what something we call screen houses, or, you know, then you take it from there to the field, you water it. The first fruit it will ever produce is called first fruits. So we are first fruit of the kind of that creation. Actually, it means that we are a first fruit of that species called Christ. That means, listen, there is a species called Christ. So Christ Jesus is the prototype of that species. How many of you are biological science inclined? Let me see your hands up. You know, when they talk about, you know, when they're talking about kingdom, phylum, subphylum, class, order, thank you, species and subspecies, genus, right? How they classify things. So they say it belongs to kingdom Animalia or kingdom Plantae. Don't forget, sorry, those of you that are, don't worry, we are not trying to steal you. But I'm not even getting it. So now there is kingdom Animalia, kingdom Plantae. Now there is kingdom Christ. Christ. Hey, hey. And there is a so that order. Jesus is the firstborn. Look at Romans 8:29. Let me explain it to you so that you get it. Romans 8:29. Ah, I will never see myself outside the word of God. I don't care. It gives confidence. I know who I am. It is the way I think. When I came to Kefi, I don't know anybody. We started from that kitchen there. I'll preach and sweat myself out. I'll be saying, I'll preach to the world. The world must hear me. And I've not started ministry yet. We are still rehearsing. We are still rehearsing. When we start ministry, we've seen people come from Kaduna to attend Bible study here. Haven't you seen, there was a guy that came from Kaduna, he came, we've seen people come from Mina. My God, people will fly from Germany to attend service. Yeah. What? My God. You see, it is what I believe. I refuse to see myself, and when I talk, The last time I received a chat one time from a woman who is in charge of the KCM, you know, one of the big ministries in the U.S., the African, said, "Ah, you're doing a great job." I said, "Yeah. Yeah." Because, you see, listen. I have chosen to side in with God. It might take time. All these physical looks, all these worldly things, they will submit to the obedience of God's perspective about me. It might take long, but sooner or later, if I will hold firm to the testimony of God, I will believe the report of the Lord about me. I will choose identity from God's word. Then the world's opinion later on will change. If the world sees me as an irrelevant person now because I'm in Kefi, they should watch out. If God says I'm a global man preaching the gospel to the global, to the world, I believe that. 10 years from now, they'll say, "Wow, ah, he's a global man." Ah, they are latecomers. They are just getting to agree after 10 years. Something God has said before me long before. But what if I have also agreed with them I'm not global 10 years before? God will be helpless to help me. Do you get the point? So time is only trying to catch up with God's word. Because God lives in the eternal now. And eternity is not subject to time. Sometimes time is trying to run after eternity. It will collapse. Pooh! In 1 second. That's what they call miracles. Sometimes it can take days. It can take years. If you hold on to the eternal word of God, everything, what God says you are is who you truly are. Believe it. Look at it. It says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Come down. Let me explain to you. He's saying that we should be conformed. The word "conformed" here is not a gradual change. The Greek word is somophos. Somophos means instant change, like the one Paul used in Philippians 3 verse 21. That we shall be changed. He uses another synonymous, you know, phraseology in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51 to 56. When he says, "In a twinkle of an eye, we shall be changed." So at salvation, we were conformed to the image of his Christ, that he might be, so that Christ might be what? The firstborn. That's the word "first fruit" again. Now, the word "firstborn" here, notice "firstborn among many brethren." These are original, these are legal oriental languages. And I want to explain them to you so that you can get what we are saying here. "Firstborn" here is from the Greek word "prototokos." That's where they get the word "prototype." They get the English word "prototype." That means an archetype. A prototype. Let me read to you from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Merriam-Webster Dictionary, "prototype" means an original model in which something is patterned, an archetype, an individual that exhibits the essential feature of the later type. Did you get that? An individual that exhibits the essential features of the later type. So Jesus is our firstborn, is our archetype, our prototokos, our prototype. He exhibited features of us that were to come through him. Look at another definition. It says, "A first full scale, unusually functional form of a new type or design of a construction, such as an aeroplane." So, let me give you an example. It's like if you're into confectionery, when you mix all the condiments, the flour, the oil, the butter, all the things you want, you mix everything somewhere in a particular kind of container. Then you have different shapes of pan that you want to put that cake in. The cake will make up the shape of that pan, true? That pan is called a mold, true? So now you were conformed into that. So that mold is a prototype. That pan is a prototype. When you came into Christ, you came into Christ. So now you are going to take the shape of that mold. Come on. So now all the features of Christ become the same feature that you can exhibit. Because you came into him. So Christ is our firstborn. So he says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, the word brethren means, the Greek word means, born from the same womb. Brethren means from the same womb. So Jesus and us came from the same womb. What is the womb? Grave. When Jesus died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. Romans 6 verse 3 to 4. Colossians 2 verse 12 to 14. When he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. We were buried into the grave together with him. And when he arose, we rose up together with him into newness of life. So, in reality, we are the image of Christ. We are in him. Say, I am in him. So, our identity is from him. We don't pick identity from Sesame Street. We don't pick identity from Wall Street Journals. We don't pick identity from who got America's Got Talent. We don't pick identity from American or African or Nigerian Idol. No, you are bigger than Nigerian Idol or American Idol or the world idol. You are the shrine of God. You carry God everywhere. God lives in you. Maybe you don't like the one shrine. You are the temple of God. Yeah. So you pick identity from that. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So we are the identity of God. Look at that, Hebrews 2. Let's check it. Hebrews 2. Let me just explain that word brethren that we saw in Romans 8:29. They might be firstborn among many brethren. Hebrews 2 and verse 11. Look at what it says. He says, for both he that sanctified and he who sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to what? To call us brethren. So we are brethren with him. That means we came from the same womb. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Maybe I should start from verse 9. Verse 9. He became captain of our salvation. Look at it. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, I wish I had time to explain the exegesis of this. Angels there is wrong. It's supposed to be the Septuagint is because the writer of Hebrew was quoting the book of Psalms 8, verse 3, when he says he had made him a little lower than Elohim. The Hebrew word is Elohim. That means he made him to be lower than the gods for a while. And that's what Philippians 2 explained. He says he ripped himself of all the glory and became man. And you know why he became man, right? God is a spirit. And the penalty for sin is what?
Yes.
What's the penalty for sin?
Yes.
Now, since man is fallen, in that is fallen state, man cannot redeem himself because he's in a fallen state. Only God can redeem man. And God that will redeem man is a spirit. And spirit does not die. Forget all the people that used to say, demon, die, devil, die, die, die. You can call that tomorrow. Devil does not die. The same devil that troubled Jesus is still the one on heart troubling you. The one that troubled Abraham, see the one, he has not changed. Devil does not die. Spirits don't die. So, because God is a spirit and he does not die, and since he's the only one that can redeem man, and the way he can do so legally is by dying, so how is he going to die? He has to become man. That's why we have Christmas. That's why he became man. It is called incarnation. Christmas is not the birth of Jesus. Catholics know these things. Christmas is not the birth. Jesus was not born. For you to give birth to something, there must be sexual union, right? Reproduction, right? That's why his conception is immaculate. She was still a virgin when she had Jesus. And by the way, she didn't remain virgin after that. She had more 4 boys and many girls. Mark 6 verse 4, go and check it. Uncle Joseph did not spare Mary after Jesus. Amen. So the conception was immaculate. So he became man. to lay credence to his death. Because since death is the penalty for sin, and God is the spirit, he had to become man to lay credence to his death. Let me use a simple English. So that he can be killable. You understand? Since death is the penalty for sin, whoever was going to pay for sin must die. God alone can do it, and God is a spirit. So God had to become man. That's why he came on Christmas Day. Incarnation, he became man. Say loud, amen.
Amen.
So now he tastes death so that we, the sons of men, can become sons of God. So the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men who will believe in the Son of God can also become the sons of God. So the ministry of Jesus is substitutionary. It is vicarious. He took our place and we took his place. All he did was for us and as us. So we pick our identity from him, not from anywhere else. So what the word of God reveals about us in him is who we truly are. Go and download this teaching on our website. In him, part 1-4. Everywhere in the New Testament where you see in whom, in whose, in him, in Christ, they are your realities. For instance, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So you now say, I am in Christ, therefore I am a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, he says, who of God, he says in 2 Corinthians 5 21, he says, him that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So you say, I am in him, therefore I am the righteousness. Are you following what I'm saying? Go and read all, and there are over 130 scriptures. You should feed on that. About who you are in him. So anywhere you see in whom, for example, you see Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. So you say, I am in him. I have redemption. I have forgiveness of sins. Are you following me? Colossians 2 verse 3. He says, in him dwelleth the, he says, in him is the, is treasures and wisdom and knowledge. Say, oh, I have wisdom. I have knowledge because I am in him. Let me see the one you like, but may I like it. If you don't like it, on your own. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Oh, I am in him. My business is must reach the globe. You see, that's the way to think. I'm a global being. I am not a local champion in Otukpo. Or in Gwagwada. Oh, Altaba Leafy. No. It makes no difference. Whatever I am doing, he willed the whole earth to Abraham. I am the seed of Abraham because I am of Christ. The world is mine. I am in him. The world is mine. That's what Thomas said. I don't want the world. I just want me. I just want to make heaven. Yes. Don't worry. If you say you want to be like that, no problem. Lazarus was poor. He made heaven. Fine. But he had to stay in one of the rooms of Abraham. Abraham was rich in gold and cattle, and God likes to associate with rich people. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not God of Lazarus. So don't glorify poverty anywhere. Poverty is bad. It makes you not be able to bless other people. If you are talking about yourself, it's good to be poor, because if it's just what you eat, what you wear, it's okay. But for some of us, my God, I'm going to reach the whole world. I want to bless lives, man. Glory to God. So stop seeing yourself by what your bank account says. Some of you, I know what is on your bank account cannot flash. If they convert it to money, it cannot. But, oh no, I don't see myself by what my bank account says. I don't see myself by that. I don't know this life. I'm done. It's just only 2 shirts I have. I have 3 shirts. Shut up. Go and get spray stash. Wash your clothes. If it is only 3, your got, get it ironed. Are you hearing me? If it's just 2 shoes, your got, wash them. Get a nice perfume. 2,000 naira. Full. If you know you can afford bone straight hair, go and cut your hair. Trim it. Make it look nice. Let them call you tomboy. It's a season. It's a season. There are seasons and times. Come on, talk to me now. Yeah. Let them call you also. The world can have different names for you. Like Jesus, it makes no difference. If you believe what God says about you long enough, the world will bow to what you have believed along with God. So you refuse to do shady things. You not go and open your lap to one guy that will be banging anyhow, misbehaving anyhow on you. No, you belong to Jesus. You're going to hold your integrity. You're going to say, no, whatever my mom or my parents sent to me from home, I'm going to manage it. I'm not going to compare myself with anybody. Because we all came from different homes. I cannot compare myself with my neighbor. I've given you this example several times. You can be in your room with your neighbor. That your neighbor, maybe you are the first person your parents sent to school. Maybe that your neighbor is like the fourth generation coming to school. Maybe the great-granddad was the first chief in their village. The great-granddad that followed the great-granddad was the first principal in Otukpo village. Then their grandfather was the first doctor in their village that traveled to London, Poland in those days, in the 50s. Then maybe his father is one of the engineers collecting contracts in Abuja. So he have cousins, nephews that are rich, some in UK, US. But you, your dad, your parents didn't go to school. You are the first they sent to school. Can't you see that the stage you are now was the stage that his own great-granddad was 100 years ago? What God began with you now, he already began with his own great-granddad. So the things he will be able to afford without stress, you will be saving up to do it. Stressing yourself, drinking garri, you want to buy one bag that your friend buys. Your friend, meanwhile, bought it out of abundance. So why are you comparing yourself with him or her? We are in different sizes and different faces at different times. See yourself from who God says you are. As a young guy, get a nice haircut. If you don't have, in the UK, for example, I have a friend in the UK, barbing is expensive. How can you barb hair for £15? Barbing hair for £15. Share the wine meaning. People have clipper in their house. That's all of them are on skin. You know what's £15? You know how much is that in Nigerian money? That's over 8,000 naira to barb hair. So if you know you can't barb hair in this one on the roads here, that they are collecting 1K, go to Agwanambu 200. If you cannot go to this, the CEO, Abi. If you cannot go to that place to barb. All right? Don't stress yourself. Go to Agwanambu, but make sure they help you sterilize it, all right, so that they will not give you HIV. Make sure they sterilize it very well, all right? Barb it well. Look nice. Get a nice cologne. If it is too shed, iron it. Come on, talk to me. Put a nice touch. Put a smile on your face. Don't walk around. What is wrong? It is well. So, you are 20 years old, but now you look like 50. Because you have squeezed your face so much that the wrinkles have refused to go back. Worry for Africa. Who sent you? Worry. No. You wake up in the morning, you stretch. Ah, the lion is up again this morning. Ah, the emperor, the lion is here. Ah! So I wake up that way. I tuck in my shirt. See that? I tuck in my shirt. I wear nice clothes. I greet everybody. Good morning. I speak Queen's English. I look good. So, how are you? I'm fine. How are you too? God bless you. You go to your department, you go to class, you sit down, you take notes, you comport yourself. If you are a lady, don't be walking like this. The Lord is helping us. No. 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 Ah. Because I know who I am. So I carry myself well. So one year, your boy cannot be telling me, come, let me get your number. He's not flashing me iPhone 14 to collect my number. Even if it's 3310 I'm using, I don't care. Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he has. I am not what I have. I am not what I have or what I don't have. I am who God says I am. So I will do it God way. I can't allow one person, one demonic person on drug to be pounding me somewhere just to give me peanuts, because he will take me to eat shawarma, something you will eat. And you are visiting a guy, and there was one I saw. He said, he was shouting. My wife and I was like, ah, what is this? You don't live in among students. Ah, kilo day. Ah, ah, you shouting unnecessarily. And let me tell you, if you think sex, there's nothing casual about sex. There is nothing casual about sex. I repeat, there is nothing casual about sex. I repeat, there is nothing casual about, nothing like casual. It's the sex, it's just, we just add casual sex. No, nothing. Nothing casual about sex. Some people just get demons transfused into their life and things just go bad. People carry different spirits, different things up and down. It's all product of covetousness and lack of poor self-image. Chasing yourself, you know, carrying yourself up and down to pursue one guy. He's a rich guy. Which rich guy? Does he have money? He's living, the child of a rich father is not a rich son. Statistics, let me just stop here so that you know, because I still have more to share. 80% of the richest people in the world today are from average home. What does that tell you? If 80%, open your ears, let me talk to you. If 80% of the richest people on earth are from average homes, let me first break your bubbles. 15 prime ministers, they were children of orphans. Mahatma Gandhi, son of an orphan, is an orphan. Are you listening to me? Mahatma Gandhi was an orphan. Jefferson was an orphan. Abraham Lincoln was an orphan. Even Clinton, go and verify. You know that guy, verify, obedient. Go and verify. Listen, Clinton was an orphan. So you have the facts there, the statistics is there. 80% of richest people are from average homes. So question, where are the children of the people who had money then? You didn't get it. If 80% of richest people are from average homes, now where are the children of those that were rich when their own parents were average those days? It tells you that, look, what makes people rich, is a lifestyle, not what is left. In this country, there's a man that worked hard to build a bank. He handed it over, after decades, handed it over to his son. In a few years, the bank crumbled. Federal government had to help that bank to merge with another bank. You know the bank. Uh-huh. So his dad is rich, and they afford AC for him in his room. He's living in houses where there are 24 hours light. You are living in Guadalambo. Listen, don't worry. Don't stress yourself. He just like comfort. So because he has AC in his house, he dressed nice. Is it his money? And what made you think that? It's because you have seen yourself. You can't see. Your future is dark in your eye. You can't see. That's why you have reduced yourself so low to something that somebody will toy with and play with. You're bigger than that. Square up your shoulder. Look forward. See forward. Build an image from what God says you are in His Word. As for me, my lifetime, I'll give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me. So I can be small girl, but with big God. And I will just enjoy myself. If I drink water, I give thanks. If I have today, I give thanks. Apostle Paul says, I have learned that in all conditions, I have chosen to remain consistent, whether to be abased or to abound. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That means my life is not determined by what I have or what I don't have. My life is determined by the truth of God's word. So let your identity be rooted in what God's word says. My life is not based on what I have or don't have. So I don't even do all this rat race. No. No. Say, I am created in Christ. Let me stop here. I am created in Christ. I am created in Christ. Say it again. Say it again. My identity is in Christ. Say it again. I want you to say it three times. Let it sink. So if somebody asks me how far, I'll say far above. That's how far I am. I'm far above because he that is born of God overcomes the world. He that is from above is above all. So I am far above. Far above. So I don't say things like, I don't get joy. What do you mean? I have joy. The joy of salvation. Joy overflow. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory. I don't tire. Everything just, I don't. No, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. My faith overcomes. You see, so my identity will show in my speech. The first proof of identity is in speech. Speech, the way you talk. That's why you must learn to talk right. I'm alive to God. I'm born again. I have God. I have majority. God is with me. God is in me. I am helped of God.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.